And golden. Then go back up?
Yep.
All right, we're yes, ready.
Sir. No problem.
Thank you. All right, guys, how is everybody
doing?
How
you doing, man?
Hi. All right. Well, roll up your sleeves because we getting ready to get at it. You know, sometimes, you know, yeah. Sometimes it's amazing how God sometimes, you know, and this is just my preparation, how sometimes there are things he gives me like, okay, this is what I want you to kind of like talk about. And sometimes it's just pretty simple. But these last couple nights, it's been where he just kept saying, keep reading, keep reading, keep reading. So I pick up, keep reading, keep reading. And so tonight, what you're going to have in the lesson is a whole lot of stuff that have just come out all over the place in this one particular lesson. And the sad thing is, I won't be able to go back. What I really want to do is take us back into, and I'll show that in a minute, how if I had another night or another Wednesday to where I want to build on this, it would be tremendous. Because I'm going to kind of leave you hanging, but I'm going to leave you with some information. I'm going to leave with you with some things to really write down, and I hope you do, and get these books that I will suggest to you. Okay? Now, all you need to do right now is just find your pen or something to write with, because I got your lesson right here. Okay, so you are going to need something to write with. Okay, now let's get started because we got a lot to cover, believe it or not. And I want to start off by asking you a question. Okay, so in the first few minutes, I want to ask you some questions and then I want you to participate with me before we get into the lesson. All right, is that okay? So put your thinking cap on. Here's what I want you to, here's how I want us to start the conversation tonight. I want you to go back in your mind and tell me, what was your thoughts or how did you feel when you heard about the shooting down in Orlando, Florida, at the gay club situation where the guy walked in or went in and shot all those people down there, including himself? What were some of your thoughts? How did it make, when you heard that news, what went through your mind?
Sadness.
Yes. What else? Bonnie?
Not again.
Whew. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of heartache.
Yes.
Anger.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's kind of give me what.
Just mad that would happen.
Okay. Because of the situation.
Yeah.
Anger. Okay. I can deal with that. Okay. That's good.
Bad situation all the way around.
Bad situation all the way around. Badly covered.
By the FBI.
Oh, okay, okay. By not keeping up with the guy, whatever the case may be. Okay. Anything else?
I quickly realized that they didn't deserve it.
Okay.
My first thoughts were...
They just out doing life.
Well, my first thought was, all right, your acceptance of what you're doing, maybe you deserve this, but I quickly got over that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because they did not deserve to mm-hmm. do what they went through at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what they've accepted as far as a lifestyle goes,
right.
They did not deserve that.
Right.
Not at all.
Okay. What else? None of us say amen. None of us are safe.
We need to work harder to put the truth out.
Work harder to put the truth out. This is good. This is good. I like that. One of the things that I think is so important for us, and this is something, y'all, that I want you to hear me on this. When you share with me how you feel about something, I take that very seriously. I don't cut down into people's feelings like, well, you shouldn't feel that way. I don't care if it's good or bad. Okay? Now, I've been married 31 years. Okay? And that's something that you can ask your lady. This is something I have never done to her. I have never told her you shouldn't feel that way. I don't care if she got issue with me. I don't mess with people's feelings. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes how she may feel or how I may feel could be wrong. But at least let me express that feeling. Now, you can come back and correct me. You see what I'm saying, Stephen? But at least let me get that feeling out. Because, see, if I don't get how I feel about something out, guess what I'm doing? I'm stuffing it. I don't mind a correction. But don't tell me not to feel a certain way. That is dangerous. And so many times in the church and so many times in life, people have told you and I how we shouldn't feel about something. Especially, and this is why I brought this up, especially dealing with this situation. Okay? Okay, so that's good. That's good. Now, here's what I want us to do. Okay? I want you to tell me, okay, I'm going to help you out a little bit on this one, okay? I'm going to help you out a little bit on this one right here, okay? So you told me your response and how you felt about that situation. Now, I want you to give me some verses or think about a verse. You know, if you can't find it, just, you know, if we get close to it, that's fine too. You may not know it, but you may say, hey, it's in the book of Romans. I'm going to just write it up here, okay? I want some verses that kind of coincide with helping us to understand the gospel a little bit. I'll give you an example. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish. That's a gospel verse. OK, so I can put up here John 3:16. OK, what else? What's another verse that kind of centers around the gospel that kind of helps us to see how good God is, okay? What are some other verses?
Paul said to live as Christ, but to die is gain.
Live as Christ, but to die is gain. That's Galatians, I think. Yep.
Paul.
Yep, we'll take it. It's somewhere over there. All right, what else? What's another good gospel verse? What's another?
Romans 12:2.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, Romans 12:2. That's a good 1 and 2. That's a good verse for us to live by. That's a good verse to have. The after effect of walking with God. Okay, what else? Here's one. This is my favorite. This is my email. Okay, this is my email. It's Romans 5:8. Okay, but God demonstrated his own love for us, that while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mm-hmm. What's another one? I just want you to see. I'm just throwing these out for a second because I want to come back to this. Oh, read that again right quick, Bonnie.
I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears God and does what is right is welcome.
I'm telling you, I done got so excited. I'm already at the end of my lesson because there are two verses we're going to look at that deals with seeing God's salvation and where we're heading tonight, y'all. It is so beautiful. Oh, this is just getting me excited. Okay, now. Okay, I want to just stop right here so we can get into our lesson. Okay, but I want you to kind of get a feel of some of these verses that deal with the gospel. Okay, now here's something I want you to remember. Okay, this is a very familiar passage. Okay, you want to write, well, you don't have a piece of paper to write this down on, but here's, turn to Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 16. Okay, get Romans chapter 1. And then we're going to get into our lesson for tonight. And I want to tell you where we're heading. Okay, get Romans chapter 1. And somebody read for me, please, verse 16. Mm-hmm. Amen. When you get there, let everybody know about saying what? Amen. You there. Okay. Somebody read that for me, please. Now, think about what Stephen just read, what Paul wrote. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, here's what I want you to see about these verses that you just gave. OK, here's what I want you to see. And there's many more. What about Ephesians 2:8? For by grace we have been saved. You know, verses like that. Y'all follow me? Here's what I want you to understand. I don't want to kick my coffee over. That's why it's over there. Here's what I want you to understand. Don't you ever, hear me, don't you ever be ashamed of the gospel. Don't you ever be ashamed of what he has done for you and me. You hear what I'm saying? Now, there are things that I'm ashamed of about myself that I have done to him. But I have never been ashamed of what he has done for me since I understood the gospel. I'm not ashamed of that. I am not ashamed that he came and lived his life and died for my sins. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm ashamed of my sin. I'm ashamed of my shortfall. But I'm not ashamed of who and what he has done for me. I am not ashamed of that. And don't you ever be. Because here's why. You don't have no other hope other than the gospel. And you can't be ashamed of that. Now, the lesson tonight doesn't have a title. And in my prayer and in my conversation with God, because I struggle, he kept me in books. He kept me reading for the last 2 days. I was like, okay, when do I actually like stop and begin to do the lesson? Okay, when do I actually stop and then start writing down? You know when that happened? 2:00 last night in the morning. But I've been studying since Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Reading. So I thought, well, what do I write down for like a particular title to help people understand where we're going tonight? Don't give them one. And here's why. Because this subject we're going to talk about tonight, sometimes what happens is when people see the title of something, they close their minds to everything else. And tonight, what we're going to look at and what we're going to deal with, sometime, whether it's, you know, it's one of those things, sometime people say, let's just not talk about it. Let's just leave it over in the corner. Let it just work itself out. But let me tell you something. The church can never shy away from what's happening in the world. Because if we shy away from what is happening in the world, what we're saying is, and Stephen read this earlier, is that we don't believe that the power of the gospel is able to do anything. See, regardless of how bad the news may get, the power of the gospel has the power to do something about that situation. You follow me? So here's what we're going to deal with tonight. We're going to talk about tonight the issue of same-sex homosexuality, all of this kind of stuff that we're dealing with in our society today. And what are some things that we need to be doing? What are some things we need to be focusing in on so that we have a better way of going into some of the things that we're facing? Now, let me give you the footnote on this. What I'm about to give you tonight will help you get some things up under your belt so that you won't get sidetracked on how to deal with and how to be in conversation with people who, in one sense, and I can't say this for all, there are some people that we're going to be talking about, well, that's dealing with homosexuality that don't want to come out of it. There are some who are struggling right now who do want to change, but just don't know how. Okay? So you got both ends of the matter. So what I'm just trying to do is give you a platform on, like, if this situation approach you, here's some things to think about. Now, I told you earlier, I'm going to give you some names of some books to write down that you need to get. These are very powerful books that I'm going to give you to write down, okay? The sad part about me not coming back to give you some deeper things on, like, okay, what if it's, you know, well, I don't want to spoil everything. Okay, help me out here, Scotty, so we can get rolling. All right, everybody, when you get a sheet of paper, let me know, and then we're going to get at it, okay? Regardless of how you feel about the Orlando situation, it was a sad situation. People lost their lives that night unexpectedly. Nobody went to that club that night knowing that was going to happen. Parents, brothers and sisters, uncles, cousins, mothers and fathers, however all that situation, whatever situation people died in relationship with people, they are gone now. mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, cousins are in agony because of one act. Now, what we want to do, and what we have failed to do so many times, is that how do we deal? What are some things, Randy, that we can deal with in trying to help us walk through some of these things that we're facing? Okay? So when everybody gets that paper, let me know by saying amen.
Amen.
All right. So first of all, whenever we're dealing with homosexuality or same-sex situations, there are some things that we need to think through. Okay? And so number one is that recognize, first of all, that when you deal with anything of this nature, you are going to be under spiritual attack. Recognize that. The moment God starts moving you in situations to help someone out of these conditions, believe me, you are going to be up under spiritual attack. So you got to get buckled down. That's why I got Ephesians chapter 6 right there. Okay? Now, 1 Peter 3, you don't have to turn there. I don't want to turn to a whole lot of verses because I want to kind of do my lesson. 1 Peter 3 talks about us making sure that when we're dealing with situations like this, that let's look at 1 Peter since you already got your Bibles open. Let's read 1 Peter. Ephesians 6 deal with putting on the full armor of God, right? Make sure you're suited up. Now, 1 Peter has us to deal with something else. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Let me know when you get there by saying amen.
Amen.
All right. Now listen to this. Listen to this verse right here. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord, right? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give you the reason for the hope that you have. But you do this with what? Gentleness and with respect. Let me just keep moving. Look at this. The enemy of all souls want to extinguish the light of God's truth. Y'all got that? The enemy of all souls want to extinguish the light of God's truth. So first of all, whenever you start dealing with situations to where you are going to be involved with people who may be living this lifestyle, you got to get ready that you're going to be up under spiritual attack. You're going to be up under spiritual attack. And your mindset has to be ready. Okay? Your mindset has to be ready. Number two. Do not entertain arguments about things clearly revealed in Scripture as if everything is revisable. Doing so opens the door to deception. Then look at 2 Peter, and then we're going to read something here. Look at 2 Timothy. It's something about when you can read and see. And that's what I like. I like to have that Bible open up to where I can read and see. Okay? Just don't want to quote it. Now, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 23.
Amen.
Amen? Now, this is God's servant. This is you and I. Okay? Now, what are we dealing with? What we got to be careful about is not entering an ark. Now, we can dialogue. Okay, we can dialogue, but to get in arguments over something that is clearly what God have already said, now you're wasting your time. Okay, there's a way that we can deal with these situations with gentleness and with respect. But to get in arguments? No. Now watch this. Paul says to Timothy, do not have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. Now, when you get in situations that you're dealing with people, okay, let's get the spectrum right. There are going to be some that you're going to cross, you and I are going to cross, who care not to get out of their lifestyle. There are going to be some who are searching. God is working on their hearts and dealing with them. Okay? What happens a lot of times is when we get into these arguments, we lose something. Okay? We lose something. Now, listen to what else he says. All right? Verse 24. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be what? Kind to everyone, able to what?
Teach.
And what? Not resentful. Be kind. When you're kind, When you're kind in these situations, people can hear you because they see your concern. See, sometimes when it comes to these issues, when we're dealing with in our society, when it comes to homosexuality, we're fighting homosexuality and we're leaving the person out. See, don't get caught up in the homosexuality. Get caught up in what this person is. This is a human being who is struggling right now. But if you look at them in whatever situation they're in, whether it be a lesbian or homosexual, then guess what you're fighting? You're fighting a homosexual. And not dealing with and helping being kind to the person so you're able to teach. See, that's where the devil gets you. That's where he gets me. He get our mindset on the act of the sin and forget about the person. And then we get in arguments. Now we fight. And then we both lose. But if I'm kind, if my heart is open and right, guess what? They'll talk. I got to keep going. Okay. Got to keep going. Now, notice this now. Watch this now. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct. Well, I don't want to believe what the Bible say anything about that. We should be able to do what we want to do. Blah, 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 blah. You follow what I'm saying? You see? Now, how do you deal with that? They oppose us. They oppose you. But you must be what? Gentle. I guarantee you, if you go back in here and just look at those verses right there and you circle the word. Look at this now. If you go back up to verse 24 where it says the Lord servant must not quarrel. Circle that. He must be kind. Circle that. Able to teach. Circle that. And not resentful. And go back and look at those words and ask yourself. When I hear. See, that's why I started off asking you about Orlando. Because I have run across some Christians who in their hearts, they hadn't changed like Scotty, feel like, well, they deserve it. Really? That's how you feel about that? Why? See, I'm a big boy. Tell me why. Why you think that? Well, we'll come back to that. Now watch this. Why do we do all of that? See, verse 25 says, those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God would grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. What am I after? What am I after when I'm dealing with someone who have the same sex attraction? What am I after? I want them to know the truth. Because that's the only thing going to set them free. Okay, let me keep on. Let me keep on. All right. Watch this. And verse 26, in that they would come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. Who has them trapped? Who has us trapped? Yeah. Now you understand why number one is so important. See, if you don't realize that you're going to be up under spiritual attack, you're going to fight in the flesh against something that you can't even fight with. The flesh cannot fight this. The flesh tells you to stand up and kind of like, well, you shouldn't be that way. You shouldn't. Okay. But when you understand who has people trapped, now it's a different ball game. Who has taken them captive to do his will. Okay, so let's read this. Okay. Do not enter into arguments about things clearly revealed in scripture as if everything is revisable. Okay. Doing so opens the door to deception. There exists, look at this now, there exists more absolute that has not, cannot, and will not ever change, and that's not open for discussion. Human sexuality designed for complementary union between male and female is one of them. See, we got to understand that. Well, let me show you something. Go back to Romans chapter 1. Go back to Romans chapter 1. Somebody read me verse 18. Where's my? Go back to Romans 1 and now read me verse 18. Okay.
Romans 1:18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness.
Okay, let's think this through. Okay. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. What we have to be clear on, what we have to be clear on is, what is God's standard for homosexuality? What is his standard? When you read the scriptures, what does he promote and what does he not promote? Okay? So what you got to understand is, anytime you go in, once you see, here's the thing. Once you are clear, and once you and I are clear on what God says about something, okay, regardless of how we may flip the coin, we can't go back in and revise that. Because those are absolutes. Regardless of how you may want to fix it up, I can't change that. And I'm not going to get in arguments trying to make me feel like I'm, you know, here, you know, you, here's your 5 and I got 10 right here. I'm not doing that. God is already clear. You follow me? Now, most of us in here may not be parents, but most of us in here were children. Follow me? And that was time when your mom and dad told you something. You may not understood all the commandments, the reason why they told you not to go over there or why not to do that. They didn't have to reason with you. There was instruction. Listen, when you're outside and the lights go off, it's time for you to be in the house. Not when the stars come out. You hear what I'm saying? When the lights go down, it's time for you to be in the house. But you want to be out there and you want to just say by the stars, well, they're not as bright as I think they should be, so it should be only 8 o'clock. But you're supposed to be in the house at 6. So in other words, there were things that your mom and dad and my mom and dad told me to where, listen, even though when they told me to come in, when the lights go off, I didn't understand all of that, but there was a reason why they wanted me in the house. There are things here in scripture where God says, here's homosexuality. Get a grasp of what homosexuality is from my standpoint, from my viewpoint. Don't worry about the world right now. Once you get my viewpoint of homosexuality, then you got something to work with. Okay? Now, here's what happens in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Two things happen when people transgress anything with their wickedness. Okay? Now notice what it says. People who suppress the truth by what? Their wickedness. So here's the thing. What is wickedness? Well, anything, it don't have to be, and here's the thing, it don't have to be homosexuality. It don't have to be whatever that wickedness is in you that causes you to suppress the truth. And when you begin to suppress the truth, guess what began to happen? You come in conflict with your conscience. And the more you suppress the truth, the more you suppress your conscience. And then after a while, your conscience will begin to say, yeah, that is right. I should be able to enjoy that. You don't have no vision. You don't have no concept now because you don't suppress the truth with your wickedness. You don't see it as being right or wrong anymore. You don't see it as being right or wrong anymore because you have twisted the scriptures so much and you have suppressed the voice of your conscience to where it don't even, you don't even recognize what you're doing. Right now, 1 Timothy 4, we're not going to turn there. Right now, 1 Timothy 4. That's where Paul says, in a latter time when the Spirit clearly says, you know, that the demons will come and teach you certain things. Oh, I thought that was me. But write down 1 Timothy chapter 4. Okay, now let's keep on going. Let's keep on going. Because I got to get down to some stuff where we can have some discussion. So number one, recognize that you're up under spiritual attack. Now what I'm talking about, y'all, is this. You and I are affected by what has happened in Orlando, even though it's, I don't know how many miles away. Because you and I sit in this room, and either we have been affected by somebody that we love and care for, or we know somebody that knows somebody. Okay, who have been affected by homosexuality. And we cannot keep our heads in the sand. Okay? Now, let's go on. Look at number 3. Be consistent in witnessing to the fullness of God's truth for sexuality. Well, what do you mean by that, Randy? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When you get there, let me know by saying amen. Okay? Now watch this. Okay, now keep Orlando in your mind. Okay? Keep Orlando in your mind. Do you not know, y'all with me?
Gotcha.
That the wicked would not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral. Circle that. Nor the idolaters. Nor adulterers. Okay. The sexual immorals and the adulterers. Okay. Next. Nor male prostitute. Nor homosexual offenders. Nor thieves. Nor drunkards. Nor greedy. Nor the drunkards slanders. Nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And this is what some of you were. Used to be. But you was washed, you was sanctified, you was justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. In other words, you know those verses we had up here that talked about the gospel? When Paul was in Corinth, Paul built a church or put a church got established in 1 Corinthians. Got a church established in Corinth. One of the most immoral places that you could ever seen at that point in time, other than outside of Rome. And I've been to Corinth. And I seen the hill where the temple used to be. And when the prostitutes used to come down in the city, so what would happen is when the ships would come in, it was a commerce place. It's kind of like being down the riverfront back in the day when the ships used to come in with their supplies. And the prostitute would come down from the temples knowing that the city is going to be full of guys. And one of the ways they distinguished themselves was by the way prostitutes wore their sandals. So in being discreet about who they were, all you had to do was look at their sandals. So if a young lady, because see the people come and guys know this, they already know the system. So when they see a young lady with a certain type of sandals on and they're walking behind them and the young lady turns around and look and see that guy's following her and looking down at her sandals, she knows what's up as well as he knows what's up. And all she do is lead him by her sandals. And she got him one. That's the way they did it. And Paul goes there and put a church in that city. And says, guess what? Some of you came out of this lifestyle. Now, here's what I want you to see right here. Be consistent in witnessing to the fullness of God's truth for sexuality. In those verses right there, God covers the gamut when it comes to sexuality. Sexual immoral, heterosexual, outside of marriage, doing your thing. Male prostitute, female prostitute, doing your thing. Homosexuality, lesbian, doing your thing. Everything is covered in those verses right there about homosexuality. And God says, anytime that is outside of what I have ordained, it's wrong. That's clear. But what we do sometimes with homosexuality and lesbianism, we label that, then we don't fight against or we don't stand up against Bobby and Sue, who are heterosexual, but they live together and having sex in the church. What about them? See, so when that person comes up to you and say, well, you know, man, there was just a group of guys and girls down there. First of all of them were homosexuals. I don't know if you know that or not. They was down at the gay club, but that don't mean all of them was homosexuals. They got killed. Someone was invited to come as a friend. Now, here's the thing. Hugh Hefner has a little party at his house every year with the rich and famous, with the Playboy Bunny house, where somebody went in there and shot them up. Oh, those little bunch of heterosexuals in there, they sure deserve that. Now where you going to swing? You see what I'm saying? See, we want to, what if somebody walked in his house and shot them up? How would you feel now? See, it's amazing to me how we switch gears when it's not the battle we want to fight. You see what I'm saying? But what God is saying here and what I'm saying right here, you better be consistent all across the board. We're going to be consistent all across the board. And then look at the paper. We live in a fallen world, and all of us bear wounds and scars. All of us bears the wounds and scars from all of these things I just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. From pornography, divorce, heterosexual outside of marriage affects us all. It's not just the homosexual thing. See, when you can have compassion for somebody who, when you can have compassion, watch this now, when you can have compassion for Joe and Bobby Sue over here who's living together, and you see them as a heterosexual living together, but you go to them and say, oh, you know, I just, we want to love on you and be there for you, you know, and they're struggling with, hey, we don't want to be in this. Well, see, that's a whole different thing. Now, when you got Billy and Steve, now how do you look at that? Or they, you know, now we treat them like they got the cooties. But over here, we'll slide over here and we'll be all nice and kind and patient. But them, oh no. Mary, oh no. See, that's not being consistent across the board. You cannot love Joe and Sue any different than you can love Bolly and Billy. You follow what I'm saying? See, your love can't change. And what has happened so many times in the church, and the reason sometimes we get kind of like ostracized, even as we try to go in and help people, is because we treat them like we're a chameleon. They don't know what we are. You follow what I'm saying? We get on this leaf, we one color. Then we get on another leaf, we're another color. And they get confused sometimes. The world get confused about us as the church. We got to be consistent. Now, let's quickly go down to this. How do we respond? See, here's the thing about this, y'all. All I've done tonight was kind of like set you up. See, what I really wanted to do the second time around is have dialogue to say, okay, I got somebody working with me who's a homosexual. How do I deal with that? I got somebody who goes to church where I go to church at who's a homosexual guy. Now, he's not a homosexual now, but he lived that gay lifestyle. Or, now here comes the rub. What if next Sunday Mary wants to come to church because, you know what, we heard about Antioch, we you know, we just know some people, you know, whatever. What if they come and want to visit? What do you do then? How do you react? What's your response now? How do we deal with, see, that's the kind of thing, that's why I wanted to go to in the next part, was how do we now deal with that as a church? How do we reach out to those situations? Now, okay, let's go to number four, and then the lesson is going to be yours, and we're going to talk a little bit. We must repent individually and as a church for all the ways we have fallen short in those areas and walk together toward health and submission to God's will, holding everyone to the same standard with humility and openness about your own feelings and struggles with a resolute will to obey God. Now, listen, I don't know, I'm not going to sit up here and lie. I don't know your sexual history. You follow me? I know my own. And see, here's the thing about this situation, y'all. And I shared this with y'all once, I think. Is this. When people are struggling and dealing with these issues, and there's going to be some here, there's going to be some at the church where I go at, people you're going to find out are struggling with homosexuality. They're going to be a husband, they're going to be a wife, and you can't sit there with your jaw all dropped open because when you hear it or see something's happening there, now how do you respond? How do you respond? People been married 25 years, and all of a sudden the guy says, you know, I've been lying. I've been sleeping with other guys. Now, before even a gay pop, way before even all this got the way it is, I knew a situation like that. And I was involved in that situation to say, okay, what are some parameters that's causing you to do these things that you're doing? What are some of your parameters? And you know what one of his parameters was? Watch this now. And coming through this, now he's still married today, and coming through this and repenting over this situation and dealing with this, you know what we had to do in some, this is crazy, but this was awesome. This was awesome. See, my thing is, I'm not afraid of nobody sin. I don't care what you done did. You know, I done been in the worst of worst. I done been out here in the prisons out here. I done been out there where I went in his cell and they come to my, my, prison ministry, but I was out there, and he was in cell block 6. We had cell block 5, but the guy who killed all those people over in Taco Bell off of Murfreesboro Road, remember that guy? Went in and shot all those people in Taco Bell? He was at Reeves, Paul Reeves. He was out there. Now, he couldn't come out. They was in a whole different cell block. But I'm telling you, I've been around some guy. This was a guy out that come to our Bible study when we had our house church and we did prison ministry. His name was Happy Jack. You know how long Happy Jack was locked up for? 135 years. After I heard that, and I've been there a couple of weeks, so, you know, I kind of got kind of like to know Happy Jack. And one Sunday, I popped in and asked, I said, Happy. I mean, and he gave his life to the Lord. And I looked him right in the eyes. I said, Happy, please help me. Help me with this. What are you in here for? He said, Randy, I wish I could tell you. I said, I respect that. 135 years, you know I wanted to know. Now, here's my point. Going back to the homosexual thing, okay? Here's a husband who was trapped in homosexuality and married. You know how he ended up getting and making and reconciling that thing? Was because we loved on him and we loved on her. And listen, when you're dealing with stuff like that, we had to set up parameters. There was times when he got off of work, we had to meet him on his way home so that he could get home. That's what you have to do. Because he wanted that. See, I don't mind helping somebody who wants to come out of something, but don't play me. You follow what I'm saying? Don't play me, because I'll read up on that in a minute. I will confront you about that. You ain't going to play me. But if you're real about this, I will be there for you. I don't care what the situation is. And what we got to do sometimes, church, is this. What is your mess in this? See, where's your mess? Turn. I want to show you. I want to show you two scriptures. Then we're gonna close out. What time is it? I don't want to mess nobody's thing up. Okay. I gotta show you two scriptures. Then we can go. Let me show you two scriptures about God's salvation, and then we can have conversation right quick. Is that cool? Okay. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. Somebody quote that or read it. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. Now we're going to talk about how good God is and all of this stuff that we've been talking about when it comes to same-sex situations. Because all of us are affected by it. Now let's just see how God responds to it. See, when I can see how God get excited about responding to sin, I can get excited about how God responds to sin. And watch how he responds. Woo! 2 Timothy 3, 9, please. I mean, 2 Peter, verse 9, what does it say?
The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise.
Yep.
Some understand slowness.
Uh-huh.
Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance.
Now, Stephen, you hold that, okay? Hold that, because I'm going to come back and have you read that, but you're going to get also, go ahead and get Acts chapter 17, Acts chapter 17. Now, you're going to go ahead and write on your paper 22 through verse 27. But we're not going to read all of it. I just want to read a little clip so we can have a discussion about this quickly. Because I don't want you to leave out of this room with a mindset that, well, you know, here's the thing. That's their deal. That's what they in. Okay, how do we respond? Okay, I want you to write down Acts chapter 17. When you get time, you're going to read verses 22 all the way down to verse 27 on your own. But what I want you to pick up at is from verse 26. Okay, I want somebody to read verse 26. Now watch the salvation. Watch the hand of God. Watch this, y'all. This is powerful. Read that for me, somebody. Verse 26 of Acts chapter 17.
From one man,
yep.
He made every nation of men.
Okay, got that? From one man, who is the one man?
Adam.
So see, that's non-negotiable. See, that's See, you can't put nobody before Adam. So if you sit and you're arguing with somebody about, oh, it had to have been somebody. Oh, it had to be. Oh, well, okay. From what God tells me, he was the first one. Because he said from one man, he created all the nations. Read.
That they should inhabit the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he determined the times set for them.
Uh-huh.
And the exact places.
Woo!
Where they should live.
Okay, why? Verse 27.
God did this.
Uh-huh.
So that men would seek him.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us.
Let me tell you something. All those people who died in that nightclub, okay, let's just go this route. Let's just say all of them was homosexual and lesbians, okay? And I'm going to go to the point to where let's just say none of them weren't Christians or anybody wanted, or, you know, a Christian in there struggling with this, okay? Let's just say all of them, none of them weren't Christians. How do we respond to that? Watch God. Here we go. God says over in Peter, what Stephen read, that God wanted all men to come to what? Repentance. Okay? He want all men to come to repentance. He don't want no one to perish, but he want all men to come to repentance. Then we read over in Acts chapter 17, God did something. He says from one man, all these nations, he set up to determine, he determined where they should live, including you. See, you can sit here and say, boy, I wish I was born back in the 19, whatever year you want to pick. No, God knew you need to be born right here, right now, at this particular time. Now, here's the thing I love about these two verses right here. First of all, he says, I'm wanting all men to repent. So there's no category of sin in this verse right here. You follow what I'm saying? See, you can't say, well, he just wants certain one. He said he wanted all men to repent. So when he wants all men to repent, that means repent of all the sins that we have committed. Then he says in Acts, I have set this up so beautifully that I'm going to make it easy for you to come and reach out to me, even though I'm not far from you. You tell me that ain't grace. So here's my point. If everybody in that club was a homosexual and they died that night and gone into eternity, you think any of them going to rise up and give God a black eye? You think any of them going to rise up and say, well, you didn't give me an opportunity. You didn't give me a chance. You didn't help me repent. Really? Really? Well, let's back up a little bit. See, before you stepped out and you got yourself all involved in this, I was already working. And even as you got yourself even more involved, I was still working. And here's the thing. Here's how I know. It's because, see, you are sitting here today and you're claiming to be Christians. And God did what he did in Peter and what he did in Acts for your salvation and mine. And he brought us to repentance. All I'm saying is nobody's going to rise up and give God a black eye as if God overskipped them. God says, I set this thing up and I determine where everyone should live so they can reach out to me. And I'm doing a work each and every day to bring people close to me. I have settled in my heart and my mind. Whenever I go to a funeral, my heart is broken. If that person is lost, I am devastated. I am devastated, and I am not angry, not one bit at God. Because I know he did everything in his power to say, I was right there, Randy. I worked, and I worked, and I worked. See, that's the God that we serve. Let me have some thoughts. What's some thoughts? What do you think about this lesson? Talk to me.
Sin is sin. It's all bad.
Talk to me.
Oh!
Talk to me. There you go.
But still was feeling so convicted that how can God love me?
Yes.
Because I feel this way and so forth. She's now a grown woman. She's in her 40s. She has created a foundation, a ministry, and it's called Centerpiece.
Okay.
C-E-N-T-E-R.
Write that down. Don't put your papers up.
P-E-A-C-E.net.
Centerpiece.net.
Right. Goes around to churches and schools and does conferences to help us.
Yes.
Understand, number one.
Yes.
And yes, just what you said, that she's a person, that these are people.
Yes.
And, you know, if I bared my sins, would you judge me as a person or would you be judging my sins?
Mm.
She's headquartered actually at the church where Mike Root's son-in-law preaches. Where is that? I can't think down there.
St. Louis?
No.
It's down in Texas.
Pat Bills,
wherever he's. Yeah. It's Northeast, Northwest Church, something I think like that. I can't remember. But she's a member of the Churches of Christ, and this is a powerful ministry.
Yes. All right, guys, let me give you some books right there. And that is good, because I'm glad you said resources. Okay, let me give you some. This is what God had me go back over and read through, okay? There's this book right here called Out of a Far Country by Christopher Yang. I heard him speak. Angela Yang is his mom. This guy, living a homosexual lifestyle down in Atlanta. It was unbelievable. Ended up, he gets busted with like 9.1 ton of marijuana. He's supposed to be getting like 25 to life, ended up getting 7 years. But to hear how his mama respond, because see, he pushed his mom out because he's running his homosexual. He's going to do his homosexual stuff. Pushed his mom out of his life. Then all of a sudden the phone rang. And it says, there's a collect call, blah, 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 from Christopher. And she picked up. And by hearing his voice, she see God got him at the right place. Because he's broken now. This guy, get this book right here. Very good book. Here's another one. Rosario Butterfield. This book right here, The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. I have them up here if you want to come up here. I heard her speak live. Okay? Her story was unbelievable. And the way she came out of a lesbianism, I'm telling you. What it was, she was totally against the men's conference. What was the name of the men's conference?
Promise
Keepers. Oh, she was. She's talking about having her fangs out. She did not care for this men's conference at all. What happened was she wrote a letter with her fangs out. This pastor at this church wrote her a letter and said, well, let me kind of help you explain why the men's conference is what it is. So she read it and she threw it in the trash. She started work back, kept looking at trash can, picked it back up, read it again, threw it in the trash, picked it back up, read it again. And the comment was, if you ever want to have a conversation about why this is important to me, just give me a call. And she gave him a call. This guy, the pastor of his church, watch this now, never invited her to come to church with him. Never. He built a relationship with her. On Thursday nights, in the homosexual community, they have what they call these safe places where they would get, okay, you hear that a lot, where they would get and talk about and discuss things because they, you know, kind of like with the club thing, they, you know. And he had built such a relationship with her. Talked to her about Jesus, the whole nine yards, just loved on him and his wife. She invited him to some of their social gathering, and he went, him and his wife, to their thing. She called him out to, and but he never once said, well, next Sunday I want to see you at church. Nope. He loved on her, loved on. Unbelievable story. Okay? And she's a Christian today. Homeschool mom. Came out of that lifestyle. She's only like, I think, 40-something years old. Unbelievable. Now, here's the thing. Here's another one. Kevin D. Young. What does the Bible really teach about homosexuality? This is a real good book. Real good book right here. And it'll help you walk through some of these things. Now, this last book, and I have this up here, this last book you definitely want to get. When Homosexuality Hits Home by Joe Dallas. Anything about Joe Dallas you see about him? Steve, the boy's good, ain't he? He has come out of this lifestyle. And I'm telling you, he is one of the top Christian leaders when it comes to speaking on this subject. Because he knows. He knows. When homosexuality hits home. And he's talking about here, like, okay, what happens when your son comes out? Or what happens when all the time your mom and dad been married and then your dad comes out? How do you deal with these relationships now? How do you walk through all of this? Oh, my goodness, y'all. This is so good. This is so good.
What's his name? Joe
Dallas.
Joe Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Dallas.
Okay. And so when you get time, just please get these resources. Why are these things important? Why do I feed my mind with this? Because you know what? The reality is I'm going to step into this the rest of my life. I'm coming through this world and it's like, listen, I'm going to get mud on my feet. I'm going to get mud on my shoes. I'm going to get mud on my pants because you know what? I'm walking in life. And I'm going to come across people who are dealing with this. And now how do I respond? See, so when you got brothers and sisters from the people that Bonnie talked about and books I'm telling you to read to help you understand, get them. So now you can get inside of the mind of understanding what these people are walking in and what they're dealing with. And you won't make so much quick of a judgment because you just don't know their story. Not that we hide the truth. No, I'm not saying that. But there's a way, y'all, that we can bring the truth in a way to where it's easy to swallow because, you know what? Discipline without love equals rebellion. It's the old same story. When you know how much I love and care for you, I'm not putting you down because I love you as a person. I don't care if you're a homosexual. What that supposed to do to me? Ooh. Scare me, please. If you invite me into your world and you come into my world, guess what? I'm gonna do whatever I can to help you. Now I'm not gonna come alongside and pet you up, but you're gonna understand my love and care for you. I'll be there for you. Well, next week, two of my friends, they're gonna get married. Would you like to go? Oh, by no means. Do I like to go? I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm going to love you. I see you after the wedding. But I can't sanction that. Y'all follow what I'm saying? But there's boundaries I have. There's boundaries I have. No different than the guy who I work with said, hey, let's go out to dinner. And this guy told me, he said, he worked with me. He said, let's go out to dinner. I said, okay, where you want to go? Well, let's go. He said, let's go to Hooters. I said, I ain't lost nothing in Hooters. Now, we can go to Old Charlie's, but I ain't lost nothing in Hooters. I ain't going to no Hooters with you. You crazy. Draw me into something. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our time tonight. I hope and pray, Lord, that we all, in some shape, form, or fashion, Lord, grow up in our salvation with you and understand how powerful you are in dealing with sin and how you have powerfully dealt with our own sin. Thank you so much for loving us and caring for us. In Jesus' name.